Lord. And the word was just, you won't always be in this position. It won't always be this hard. But don't lose heart and don't give up. Keep trudging. Your trudging is honoring God, whether you realize it or not. Anything that comes with great effort, we appreciate more, correct? So we just want to encourage you this morning. Keep trudging and realize that the Lord is saying to you, won't always be this hard. You're working muscles that will benefit you spiritually in the future. So don't despise where you're at and don't get tired of where you're at. Just keep on moving.
And that's for you too. And us. Y'all keep praying for us. This thing's real fresh. Real fresh. Last week, I'm kind of picking up last week into this week. And this coming week, this is the weekend that Christine and I are going to go out to California for 6 days. And we got to spend time with our pastors this week. And we had dinner with them. And we got to spend about 45 minutes, just Christine and I, with the pastor's wife talking about things. And we'll spend more time with him this next week. And we need that time. We really do. I believe God's got some healing in line that he's going to give us. And because we need it, you know. When things happen and you didn't ask for them and you didn't sow for them and you didn't make a decision on it because the decision you would have made would be different than the decision that is, that's when trust is really pulled on. And that we trust and we keep trusting God. So that's where we're at. We're trusting him. And but we got to keep trusting. Trust is not a one-time thing. It's a trust and continue trusting. So thank you for your prayers. Revelations 3 and 20, you don't have to turn there. It's just a verse of scripture. And I like I said, I'm touching back a little bit. Next Sunday, I will tell you this. Let me say this first. My mother-in-law is going to be speaking, Vicki. And if you haven't heard her speak, she gets in my notes. I'm just kidding. We have an ongoing joke. This morning as I was leaving, she said, John, you got my notes right. And I say, I'm not a smart man, but I do live in a house of two smart women. And I'm thankful for them. But she will bless you. I promise you that. And, you know, I guess I'm not like a lot of or some preachers. I believe that you need to hear from a woman's voice, too, sometimes. I thought the women might amen that when I got men amening that. But they have a different perspective, and it's a valuable perspective, and it's to be appreciated. And so, yes. Revelations 3:20, the scripture says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will come in." And it goes on. He's going to have fellowship is what he's going to say. But he says, I'm going to stand at the door and knock first. I'm not going to bust in on you. I'm not going to do a sneak attack. I'll be a gentleman about it. And I believe that's what the Lord is doing every time. It's an opportunity for us to have fellowship with him. And I remember what I said last week about a story I heard about a man many years ago. I don't believe he's still living, but he was used mightily of God, but he was very overweight, very obese, very large man. And he would come after engagements and things. People would want him to come into their home and eat with them and bless their home and have fellowship with him. But he would come to the door and he would look into the room. He would peek into the room because he was such a large man, and he would have to make sure before I go in, is there anything in that room that can support my weight? And I believe that's how it is with the Lord. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And I believe that he's looking in to see, is there anything in there that will support my weight? Because the weight of the Lord, we know it as the glory of the Lord. But the glory of the Lord is actually described as his weight, his strength, his ability. And he's not going to waste that on us. So there has to be structure in order for him to come and be amongst us the way that he wants to be amongst us. Okay? It was the Old Testament when the Holy Spirit would come and visit. It is the New Testament where the Holy Spirit wants to come and dwell. It's not visitation anymore. It's habitation. It's what the Scripture says. In Ephesians, at the very end of the second chapter, I'm not here for visitation anymore. I'm here for habitation. Can I come in and live? And if I can, I'm going to make sure that the structure will support it. Okay? His weight, his structure. Last week, I talked to you out of Ezekiel 37, and we talked about the bones. We talked about the valley of dry bones, right? We talked about the valley of dry bones, and we talked about that there was this, it actually ended up being an army, and the army represented all of Israel. So I don't know how many bones there are in the body. Does anybody know how many bones there are in the body? But if it, a lot. Suffice to say, it is a lot. But if the bones of one person were scattered, there'd be a lot of bones. But the bones of all of Israel were scattered about. And the voice of the Lord said to prophesy to the bones. Right? You remember that? He said, tell them that I will breathe on them and that muscle and sinew will cover them. But he said, prophesy to them first that they hear what the Lord says. So that's checkpoint number one. Is that we've got to hear what the Lord says. Because if we do that, then order will begin to take place in our life. But if we don't listen to the word of the Lord, there will be no order. And if there's no order, there's no peace. And we want peace, right? Sometimes we're praying for peace, but what we really need is simply order. We're praying for peace, but what we really need is order. See, God's not going to come back and say, oh, yeah, one more thing I told you. Jesus hung on the cross and he said, it is finished. So in other words, what's written is final. Our manual, our instruction is final. The only question is God's word. Will you obey it? So it really comes down to a factor of obedience. Obey, be blessed. Don't obey, live in a mess. You know, Jesus, he said this. He said, you don't get it, the things you're asking for, because you ask amiss. In other words, you miss. That's not what that really means, but you're missing it if you don't come back to the first things that are first. And this is what I talked about, is that we like spiritual things, right? We like spiritual things. But God has an order to spiritual things. And just like he said, prophesy to the bones. In a little while, he said, then I'm going to let you prophesy to the breath. That it'll come from the four corners of the earth. So the breath was the spirit. The breath was the thing that was going to speak life into the bones. So you had bones that came together. And then you had muscle and sinew and skin that covered them. But then they were still just there. He said, now prophesy to the breath to come inside of them, and I'll speak life. And this is going to be my army that's going to represent me. See, we want the Spirit. We want to prophesy to the Spirit. God, bless, bless, bless. But he said, that's second. What comes first is the bones, the structure, the thing that holds it all together. And that's the thing that's not always easy to do, is it? That's where things get into disarray. That's where things start to die. And if they stay dead long enough, they turn to bones. And these were described as dry bones. Breath is gone. Skin is gone. Muscles are gone. Sinew is gone. There's no structure. There's nothing holding it up. It's just laying around. And that's the way it's going to be. Can I tell you that God can look at your bones and offer a way to put everything back together? He said, when that happened, when I prophesied to them, I heard a noise. And then I heard rattling. The noise was the first bone. The rattling was bones. So there's things that you have to do first. And if you'll do that first, then other things will start coming together too. You can't look at just the whole picture and say, I want to fix it all. Start with bone. Start with a bone, then bones. Okay? Let me move on. In the Old Testament, I'm going to talk to you things about Old Testament and New Testament. But there are principles in the Old Testament. And if you find those same principles working out in the New Testament, you know what you found? You have found a principle that is timeless. Moses. The dead Moses, and that one's very much alive. Moses and Joshua. Moses is the guy who brought the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage. You remember that story? Enough of it to know that. That happened, but Moses is not the guy that took the Israelites into the promised land. Moses is the guy who told the Israelites about the promised land, but he didn't get them into the promised land. That guy, his name was Joshua. There comes a point in the Bible where it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. And then Joshua comes along and he says, be strong and of a good courage. We're going to go into the promised land. Moses had been with the people after the deliverance for how many? 40 years? 40 years. Been talking about going into the promised land. But they had stayed in a wilderness for 40 years. Moses died. And 3 days later, where were they at? About to enter into the promised land. Through who? Joshua. So Moses had an anointing to get them out, but he didn't have the anointing to get them in. Moses had the anointing to get them out of the old structure. Joshua had the anointing to get them into the promised land. Are you following me? What was the promised land? The promised land was a land flowing. Say flowing. Flowing. With milk and honey. Do you know that represents something? The old milk and honey was not flowing. The old milk and honey they had to work for. They had to go to the cow or to the goat and get the milk and collect the milk, and it took labor. How do you think they got honeys? Don't you think honey took some labor and some pain and some things had to take place and probably some stings and some things like that? And he said, this old place that you're at, it's nothing like the new place, so that the new place is going to be nothing like the old place. What you have to work for is going to flow for you. But Moses didn't have the anointing to get them there. But these people were so stuck on the old structure. That God had to kill Moses to get them away from the old structure. And then he took his bones and he hid them. Why? Because they would have camped out right there and worshiped his bones. The old structure. Are y'all starting to hear what I'm saying? Let me go back because I lost a couple people when I said God killed Moses. I felt that one. I felt the poles go down. Well, let me just make it simple for you. One day, God and Moses went for a walk. Only God came back. Is that what it says? Okay, so something happened there, and Moses didn't come back. And God took Moses' bones and hid them because they were about to go into something new that God had for them. There was a whole structure change that was about to take place, and God was going to use Joshua to do that. Okay? 40 years, Moses. Joshua comes on and says, you got 3 days. Let's pack up your bags and let's head that way. Okay? Sometimes those things can come on very quickly, but there's always a way to get to that place you can't get to, and it can seem so far away. I believe after 40 years, that's way more than half of my life. But after 40 years, I think that if someone came along and I'd been trying something for 40 years that didn't work, and in 3 days, everything this guy talked about for 40 years happened in 3 days' time, I think I'd have to say, I don't know, Ethel, we might be on to something here. Well, I guess I could call you Christine. Philippians 3. Now, I thought I had pulled everything out of this that I could, and I keep coming back to this. I've come back to this in the last year probably 3 times and haven't preached the same thing yet. But I'm going to give you these 3 scriptures right here. Philippians 3, verse 12 through 14, then I'm going to tie it all together. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. Say, I press on. I press on, but I press on. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I press on. And I've already preached this point that he said, this one thing I do, and then he gives you 2 things. I let go. I forget what's behind me. But I want you to say that. I'm going to forget what's behind me. Okay, I'm going to reach forward. Can I tell you that even that motion right there is like what's behind me is an old structure? I'm going to go into a different place in my life. In this part of my life, there's some things I want to forget about. Is there anybody here this morning that has some things in your old life you'd like to forget about? I'll tell you how key that is. There's some things that you've just got to forget about. You know what will help you forget about it? Is to remind yourself how great is God's love. That he could love me through that thing that I'm trying to forget about. You gotta let it go. There's going to reach a time and a point where you gotta let it go. And then he gives you an activity. Reach. Just stretch your hand out and reach. Sorry, neighbor. Reach. So that I can apprehend the thing that he's called me for. See, I haven't got there yet. But I'm headed that way. The scripture says, but I press on. It's already on his mind. I press on. He said, if I'm going to get the things, the one thing I do, I haven't apprehended yet, but I press on. The one thing I do is 2 actions. This one thing requires 2 actions. for me to press on, for me to make it, for me to lay hold of this, for me to apprehend, I've got to let go and reach forward so that I can get what God has for me. Okay? Now I'm going to give you another scripture and tie this in. Genesis chapter 48. And this is going to be where things get really interesting with God, because God does things so different. We can be stuck in our ways, and God can let that go on for a little while. But when He's ready to advance you, He's going to come and bust up your old ways. And He's not going to ask your permission. He's a gentleman that knocks at the door. But when He's looked in and said, there's no structure there, but I do see some dry bones. And I can breathe life into those. If you will take the order. What was the thing that He said? Prophesy to them. This is what the Lord says. So this is what you always come back to your life. This is what the Lord says. When I talked to you about your conscience a few minutes ago, this is what we started training our children. Walker, Michaela, Kinsey. We taught the older ones this. Michaela, Kinsey. I know that you come to me telling me this thing's going on in your life and you're wanting advice, but what's the Lord saying to you? That's better than mom and dad. And here's how you check it. It always lines up with God's word. Always. Okay, so I'm telling you that God can come in to what you have going on in your life, but He can see your heart, and sometimes you want more, but you don't know how to get there, right? I believe that every person that's here this morning, you're here because you want more, but you might be wondering, why am I not there yet? Or you might not have set things in order yet. And it might be God saying, but it is time. But I'm not just going to sprinkle fairy dust on it. But see it's got to be, you're on a good thought there, Stephen, but it's got to line up. At some point, it's got to line up with His word. Because He's not going to change it outside of His word. That's why He didn't say prophesy to the Spirit. Because if He did that, He'd just be sprinkling fairy dust on everybody. And God doesn't do that because there's really no fairy dust. I hope I didn't mess anybody up with that one. There's also no Santa Claus. Sorry. Sorry, George. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. All right. Forgive that. Forgive me for that. Bring it back in. I know the weather's been real funky. Like, we don't know what season we're in right now. We just know it's wet. Somebody texted me yesterday and said, Pastor, are you sure that the Lord said He would never destroy the earth again with a flood? And they left me with that. And I started scratching myself. I don't know. But it's got to line up with God's word. That's why He said, I'm not telling you to prophesy to the breath until you've prophesied to the bones. I can't come make something happen according to my spirit that you haven't made happen according to the structure. Why? Because His weight will crush that. You ever wondered why there'd been so many revivals? It was God's presence. I believe that. There's so many things that happen that were God's presence, but they're not there anymore. They're just a memory of something that happened that they couldn't continue to make happen because I believe it was because they didn't have the structure to hold the weight of His glory. So why should He keep giving His glory out if we haven't given any structure to hold His glory? So Old Testament, again, This is how much God will love you. That he will keep his principle even if you don't see it. And he has to show you. And you have to look back at it in hindsight and see, oh, that was God. You know, if you could sell hindsight, I would buy it. But it's impossible to sell hindsight. But the best thing you can do is to cast the right seed and put the right thing, because that will come up and make your hindsight a good sight. Come here. Brother Morgan. I'm using him because he's got two sons. Have a seat right here. Actually, come here, Anthony. Stand up. Now, you can stay here. I want you to go collect your boys. Go get your boys. Big Anthony. We'll have order in the house. Yeah, you can have a seat there, brother. Now, I want you to arrange your sons, oldest and youngest, according to your right hand. Put your oldest son on your left side. Your left side. I want you right here. And I want you to put your oldest son on your left side. Are you older than him?
19 months.
I mean, you didn't mess up my sermon or nothing, but I thought you were. He's got that little baby face.
Thank you, brother. That's why I have to keep this on.
That's right. I understand. If you took the four of us, or the five of us, and did one of those Sesame Streets, what doesn't belong? It'd be you, huh? Let your husband grow a beard. Come on now. I know she hates it. Mama said. All right, just listen for a second. So if you don't know these folks, this is Anthony, okay? And this man right here has his two sons. This is his oldest son. This is his youngest son. And I just didn't realize that. But now I know. But it's going to make sense. Let me read this to you, okay? This is chapter 41. I may have said 47 or 48. It's chapter 41 of Genesis. This is really, really super interesting. Starting at verse 50. And to Joseph, David Morgan Sr., you're going to be Joseph. Raise your hand. Okay. To Joseph was born two sons. Go down to verse 51. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. So raise Manasseh's hand. David Jr. It makes sense now to me. I'm getting a revelation that. Can I tell you that had been weird to me before? I was like, I don't see a junior. He just decided, he just forgot. All right? But you were good. I wasn't. I'm showing y'all big-time weaknesses in my brain. I told you earlier, I live with smart women. I'm not a smart man. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. Verse 52, the name of the second he called Ephraim. Ephraim. Joseph. This right here is Israel. His name has been changed. His name is now Israel. Okay? He's your father. And you're bringing your two sons to be blessed because he's about to die. But he's got a blessing in store for his sons and grandsons and his family. See, in those days, there were blessings that were held, that were passed down from the patriarchs. And it was important that you lined people up according to the way that they should be blessed. Because in those days, the oldest got a bigger blessing than the youngest. I didn't say it was fair. I just said that's the way that it was. But watch how God's principle stays the same. Okay? God had changed Jacob's name to Israel. So back to verse 51. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. So in those days, they would name their children according to something important in their life. So his firstborn was named Manasseh. Now put your hand on your firstborn. Okay. Manasseh, for God has made me forget all my toil and my father's house. Manasseh meant making forgetful. And the name of the second son was Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. So the name Ephraim means fruitfulness. Making me forget and fruitfulness. I said it's an Old Testament principle that's carried out in the New Testament. Making me forget and fruitfulness. Which came first? Making me forget so that fruitfulness can come. God's principle, right? And Joseph, being a smart man, looked at how Israel was seated, knowing that Israel was going to bless first with his right hand. So he lined up his firstborn son on his left side. Step forward. All of you step forward. Now kneel down. We'll help you get back. Got these strong boys beside you. They'll take care of you. Okay. Just hold on. Told you it's going to get interesting. Chapter 48. Verse 10, now the eyes of Israel were dim with age so that he could not see. He's so old, he's lost his vision. But he knows there's a blessing in his right hand. Then Joseph brought them near him, and he kissed them and embraced them. So y'all don't have to do that. We'll skip on to Act 2. And Israel said to Joseph, I had not thought to see your face. If you look back at the story, Joseph was the one who had been in prison. He's the one whose brothers turned on him. He's the one who actually saved a whole country. And the dad thought that he was long since dead. He had never seen him again, much less his offspring. And that's what he's talking about right here. Israel said to Joseph, I had not thought to see your face, but in fact, God has shown me your offspring. So Joseph brought them from beside his knees, and he bowed down with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left hand, Ephraim, and Manasseh with his left hand towards Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. You still with me? But then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it come close. On Ephraim's hand. I don't have to read it. And with his left hand. That's what he said happened. This is a blind man. Can I tell you that his vision at that time was better than ours? Because he was seeing it spiritually. He's seeing it with a difference. I can tell you, I promise you with 100% of surety in my life, there are some things that we're looking at now that we think we see, but we're blind. I told you last week, you've been wondering, God, where are you? Where are you? It's not that he's not calling your name. He's calling you by a name that you're not listening to. He's calling you by the name he's called you to be. What did that scripture say? I let go so that I can apprehend that which I have been called for. Stay right here because I want to read this out. I want to read this out. Man, you're getting a good workout there, brother. You have to send him in for a massage tomorrow. So Joseph brought them forward beside his knees, and he bowed down with his face to the earth, and Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near. Then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly. He was listening to somebody else for direction here. When you can't see, can you still hear? Oh, that was better than you acted. God, open our eyes and our ears so that if I can't see, it doesn't look right. I'm still hearing. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name be upon them and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Can I tell you, this was the blessing of blessings that he had been waiting for all along, because this was going to be a fulfillment of the promise of God. It was going to be a continuation of what God had promised to Israel. Now it was going to go through him and even to his sons and to all of the descendants. This was an important thing. But Joseph didn't like it. I'm going to give you a break. You can put your hands out. Can't. Okay. But y'all keep
just the lights, man. Good night.
We need to bottle that for some anointing. Here you go, brother. We're gonna work you. I love you, Anthony. I gotta be good to this man. This man can hurt me. You need some water, brother. Seriously. Okay. Gatorade. You got Now when Joseph, raise your hand, Joseph, so we don't forget who we are. Joseph, dad, y'all gonna have to help him back to his seat in a minute. So now when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, so he took hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head. Just act that out real quick. Act that. Have those hands crossed again. Yeah, act like you're going to move it. You ain't moving it. Joseph said to his father, not so. He went to move it from Ephraim's head to put it in Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people. And he also shall be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. Why? You can rest your hands. Because making me fruitful. And forgetting about it have now intersected, and everything has changed. Now, fruitfulness is what's on God's agenda. I'm going to tell you, there's some people I believe in this room, and you're one of them, that have stacked some things in order. And while it didn't always make sense, you kept stacking them in the right way. And there were some things that were painful for you, so much so that they created a bad memory in your mind. But God was watching all those things. And I believe the word to you is, I'm going to help you forget about it so that I can make you fruitful. Fruitfulness is coming. Fruitfulness is coming. And you may be even confused by it and say, but I stacked it up this way. But God wants you to stop, forget the thing, and put it behind you so that fruitfulness can ensue. Does that make sense? Even though the Father said, this is not right, this is not the way that we do it, this doesn't line up with our old bones. This doesn't line up with the old structure. What he didn't realize is that he had gone according to God's plan. But now you've got to let the shift take place. And now the rest has to run its course. And he said the younger, he's still going to be blessed. But the greatest blessing is going to be on the one that after the things have been forgotten, now I'm going to put you to a place of fruitfulness. So in other words, there's such a thing as having a relationship with God and him still blessing you. But you're never going to get to the place of fruitfulness unless you can get to the place of forgetting things that are behind me. Can I tell you how powerful and how released you would be if you could let go of some things yourself? You men can go back to your seats. I appreciate you guys. Forgetting what's behind. I talked to you weeks ago. I talked to the men separately at a breakfast. The men's breakfast once a month, first Sunday of the month. About forgetting things that are behind you. I talked about this. I talked about being stuck. Any of you remember that? God doesn't want you stuck. And you can get stuck with the worst things that have happened in your life. But this is equal opportunity. You can get stuck with the best things that have ever happened in your life. If you're willing to settle in and be stuck there. I've seen help on the way, and people ignore the help because they got so used to being stuck, they like stuck better. I don't know that I can pray for everybody to get unstuck because I've realized everybody doesn't want to be unstuck. But if you want to be unstuck, you can be unstuck. There's a way to get you out. It's following God's word. And what you're going to have to do is get rid of the old structures in your life that have kept you in a wilderness longer than you should have been there. I would say if I had been stuck at a place for 40 years and somebody delivered me out in 3 days, there were some inefficiencies that had been going on, to say the very least. What in your life is not a blessing anymore? What in your life needs to be cut away? What are some things that you're holding on to and maybe even giving care to, thinking that at some point it's going to bless me? You just need to get rid of it. I've been through a process of getting rid of some things in my life, trying to simplify some things in my life. I went to my garage, and I realized I've got not just a box. I've got boxes of stuff that I have moved from one location to another. Never used it, just moved it. And come time to move again, and I grabbed onto that thing like it had some value to it. Oh, yeah, that's my stuff. Put my John, get the new Sharpie out. Make sure everybody sees that's John's stuff. Don't open it. It's just John's. That's all you need to know. I'm dragging it. It doesn't mean anything to anybody. And one day when I'm gone, it's going to mean nothing to nobody. There's really not anything of any value in there. But I'm stuck. And they call it a convenience center. That's where some of the worst decisions are made. They should call it the inconvenience center. People go there and they're like, I think I'm going to keep that. And then you'll see people throw something away, and then they'll be looking at that guy like, when he's watching them guys crush them boxes, get out of there with somebody else's junk. You're getting restuck with something they just got unstuck from. Don't worry about it. Is there anything this morning? Christine, will you come play? Inventory time. You ready to get unstuck? You ready to get some structure back in your life? Old structure. Come on. The old structure. I knew God was.
Yeah, I just am sitting there thinking that we cry out to God for His glory so that we can be built up in Christ. Haven't we done that? God, I need your glory. Bring me the glory so I can be built up and be strong. And God is saying the opposite. Build yourself up so you can sustain my glory. Well, how do we do that? Right here. Right here. We want to bypass the hammer and nails and the wood and the things that build us up. We don't want to obey God's word. We want to do it our way. And then we want God to send His glory and fix it. I truly believe God is saying, get in my word. Build yourself up. Put the hammer, the nails. Make the structure so that my glory can rest in you. Does that make sense? Forgetting what is behind. I just really feel like people are stuck. I feel like people are stuck with what someone spoke over you, said to you. You can't get past it. That thing comes back at you at night. Somebody you may have loved and trusted spoke something over you that wasn't the truth. You're selfish. You're unkind. You're hard to deal with. You know, I don't like being around you. You make things difficult. I don't know what it is. Everybody has their thing. And if it was spoken over you, you need to get rid of that today. You need to get rid of what was spoken of it. Quit holding on to that stuff. Don't keep entertaining, well, could some of it be true? Do you know there are assignments that come from the enemy to try to label you and give you your identity? If you know that, you repent. It's so simple. Hey, I'm an idiot. I am so selfish. Please, God, forgive me. It's done. Done. And you're a new creature in Him, but you got to get past some of that stuff that have been spoken over you or that you've done. You're guilty. How many of you have ever been guilty of sin in this room? Flat out disobedient sin to God's word. Welcome to the club. Everybody. So why do you let that hold you back and discount you from the kingdom? God wants to build us up so we can be released. We can hold the weight of His glory. I'm so hungry for that. I'm shaking inside. I'm so ready to Him to look in the room and go, right there, her. I can sit on that. I can sit on that with the fullness of my weight. You know what happens when He can sit? Our lives become fruitful. And it's not us that's fruitful. It's the glory of God through us. You can't stop it. You can't prevent it. But until we are where He can rest on us with His full glory, I'm hungry for that. Are you hungry for that? Are you satisfied? Not satisfied. I want so much more of Him. I'm going to tell you, this pain that I'm going through right now is going to cost somebody. It's going to cost the enemy, because I will not stop till I am healed, until there is a beautiful thing that can be released out of my pain. I told God this week, I said, God, I feel like Jacob. I will wrestle You to the ground. I will hold on. It hurts me. My hip is broken, but I don't care, because I will not let go until You bless me, until You release whatever it is You can do through this pain. And I'm not talking about a little bit of pain. I'm talking about the most agonizing pain I've ever felt in my life. I feel like a free diver. You know those people that go down way, way, way down into the ocean. I'm like, God, are we there yet? Are we at the bottom of this yet? Because I can't hold my breath anymore. I can't do this anymore. And He keeps saying, I've got you. And when we get to the bottom of this, I will send you back up to the top, and I will let you breathe. And I want to tell you, if that's you this morning, hold on, wrestle and fight. Don't give up. Don't give up. Be like Jacob, who said, I won't let go until You bless me. I won't let go until that glory is released. I won't get tired of the hammer and the nails in the building and my family. I won't get tired of that until You can sit on me with all of Your weight and all of Your glory. And what You have planned for my life can be released. Do you want that this morning? I don't only want it, I gotta have it. I'm not gonna make it if I don't have it. Can you just find a place? I don't care if you come up front. I don't care if you kneel. Ask God to build you today. Don't ask Him for His glory. Ask Him to build you today so that you can handle His glory. Ask Him what He's doing to prepare you for the glory of God that is coming to be, make you fruitful. God does not want to destroy us. He wants to build us. And sometimes that hammer hurts and that nail going in hurts, and we don't feel like this place fits that place. We don't see the structure He's building. He's done with the old structure. And He's building something that He can live in and move through you. And if you're hungry for that, just find a place to kneel and just ask Him to build you this morning. down the things today that in your past that keep you from believing that you can be fruitful. Forget what is past. Forget what has been spoken over you. Ask God to heal you today of the things that keep you from believing that you can be fruitful, that you can hold the weight of His glory. It's a lie and it's not true. Forgive yourself. Forgive others. Release it to Him today. Work in us, God.
Thank God for order. You can thank Him for order and appreciate order in your life. I promise you, peace will come. You can't stop it. God's offering us ways out of our wilderness so that we can step into His promised land. Aren't you thankful for that? Father, we give you praise. We love you so much. You're so good to us. Thank you for your hand. Thank you for your deliverance. And thank you for your plan that you're able to take old structures that have worked before but aren't working anymore and replace them with what you've got in mind so that we can attain to the thing that you've called us for. In Jesus' name, amen. Stephen, Steve, you said you wanted to say something. Thank you, Stephen. That opportunity to walk away from the Lord will be there every day of your life. So you make a choice every day. Make your stand every day. That scripture right back behind you, Carlos, on the wall. We were praying in here the other night, and it just hit me that was right behind where Kenzie's head was all the time. And if not, he is still good. That's Daniel's prayer. That was a prayer right out of Daniel that thought it was going to go one way, believe it's going to go one way, but even if it doesn't go that way, he's still God, and he's still good, and he's still right, and that's where we fall into. And we made him our choice. God is our choice, and we'll live by that, we'll die by that, and then we'll live again. Amen? Thank you for that.
Hey, Stephen, just a little thing for you here. Walking away was an option. Take that option completely off the table today for the future. Yeah. Available to you. Never an option. Same thing with you in your marriages. Don't ever give yourself an out because one day you'll take it. When it gets hard enough, you'll take it. Don't ever give yourself an out with God, because when you do that, you open the door for the enemy to tempt you with that or to taunt you with that. Same in your marriages, same with anything in your life. Don't give yourself an out. Stay in the game the whole time.
Amen. Well, we're going to hang around and have some lunch today. So we're going to take that opportunity to set up. Some of you guys, if you didn't get the invitation to stay, please stay. If you didn't bring something, please stay. Because I've